Hi, I'm Kendra Corman, the host of Imperfect Marketing. If you're a solopreneur, small business owner, or marketer, you know marketing is far from a perfect science. And that's why this podcast is called Imperfect Marketing. Here you will hear from marketing experts and successful business owners about their marketing tips and, of course, their lessons learned along the way.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Imperfect Marketing. I'm your host, Kendra Corman, and today I have Nick with me. He's a seasoned podcaster, podcast coach, and a leader in leveraging AI technology for content creation. So clearly I already love him and haven't even talked to him yet because I love AI and podcasting too. So he has hosted the 9 to 5 podcast, worked with numerous podcasters. He brings firsthand knowledge of the industry's challenges and opportunities to Next Gen Podcaster, a community he co-founded. The mission of Next Gen Podcaster, and we'll have a link to that in the show notes for you, is helping creators harness the power of AI to streamline their work and unlock new creative potential. Very cool. Thank you so much for joining me, Nick.
Thank you for having me. Anytime I get a chance to talk about AI or podcasting, one of those two topics, I'm like all in. So I was super pumped when we set this all up and we're ready to go. I'm excited.
Well, I am a huge fan of AI and podcasting. Podcasting has quadrupled my email list, which has grown my business, which has increased my visibility. And AI saves me at least 3 hours a week on my podcast, which is quite a bit of time.
That's what I love about the AI thing. I was always, before I had started my podcast, I was always into like the system of things, like how do I streamline, make things more efficient, automate things. And then when ChatGPT came out, all of these other tools started coming about and it was like, holy cow, there's a huge opportunity right here for not only podcasters and creators, but marketers, business owners, like pretty much anybody to take advantage of this stuff. And I just got super pumped when it all came about. So yeah, it's one of my favorite topics for sure.
Awesome. So a lot of people are either all in or all out on when it comes to AI, right? We got a lot of people that think it's Skynet from the Terminator movies and things like that, right? And sometimes it does feel that way. Don't get me wrong, when I'm like, oh my gosh, that's creepy. It knew exactly what I wanted. But what seems to be the biggest hurdle that you see for podcasters and content creators overall when they're looking to incorporate AI into their process?
So I kind of see two big hurdles in a lot of this. And the first one being people are afraid to lose what makes them them. They're kind of that mentality of like, oh, if I use AI, then it's not my content, then no one's going to care. And why would I even start a podcast unless it's my podcast? So that mentality of I don't want to outsource to an AI to do the work for me kind of thing. And then I would say the second big hurdle is not understanding how to use it. On the absolute flip side of people not wanting to create an AI version of themselves, there's the people that want it to do everything for them and get frustrated and disappointed when it doesn't. And that's really not what this AI stuff is all about. That's not what it's for. So I think those would by far be the top two hurdles that I see. Not even just content creators, but everybody who's kind of dipping their toes in the AI space. Those are the two big things I've noticed.
Yeah, and I definitely think the people that think that they're going to lose their touch or something along those lines, or that it's not going to reflect them, I feel like it's just a little bit short-sighted because the human element, the editing, adding you into that process, I think is essential. I know a lot of people skip it and I get on, you know, my high horse here when I'm always talking about you got to edit the stuff that it gives you, but it can give you stuff that is written in your voice. If you give it your voice, it can really streamline processes beyond belief. I mean, it's just amazing What are you finding that hesitancy being?
Can you repeat the back end of that?
Oh, sorry. So what are you seeing as the hesitancy when it comes to people being scared of it not being their voice? I'm like, you just have to edit. You have to give it your voice. Like, if you put the right stuff in, you're going to get the right stuff out, and you're not giving up any control.
Mm-hmm. That's like one of the biggest points that we preach at Next Gen Podcaster is this isn't meant to replace you. We want this to be something that helps like spark the creative juices, gets you maybe 80 to 90% of the way there, to free up your time. But then it's on you as the creative, the solopreneur, the marketer to kind of take it that last 10 to 20%. I mean, I'm sure everyone here listening to the podcast knows the Pareto's principle, the 80-20 rule. If we can get AI to do 80% of the like tedious stuff that doesn't need our full attention, and then we can step in and really focus on the stuff that matters in our content and everything that we're doing, that's the goal here. It's not meant to say, okay, do it for me, and then I'll come back and publish it or do whatever.
Yeah, it's not about copying and pasting, right?
Right.
You have to edit. You have to add that human piece to it. I think that that's just such a differentiator. Now, I'm a big fan of podcasting because in this world of AI, I think that podcasting is very real. You and I are having a very real conversation right now. So when we're doing this, I think it helps people stand out. What are your thoughts on podcasting as a major content pillar, I guess, for people?
I mean, podcasting is still very young. It doesn't seem like that because it's like everybody has a podcast, and it's really not the case. So one of the things I love about podcasting is the fact that it can be such a personal experience. Someone is tuning into you sometimes for 30 minutes, sometimes an hour, and just listening to you talk, listening to the conversations that you have. And nowhere on social media I know you're a big email marketing person, but even email marketing, nowhere can you kind of grab that much attention from somebody in a single sitting. So that's extremely powerful. And then not only that, they're hearing your voice. If you're doing a video podcast, they're seeing your face. So it's almost like they're building a relationship with you without you even knowing it. And there's a lot to that, seeing the person and hearing their voice.
And I find that people feel like they know me without ever having met me so much because they heard the podcast. Now, they listened to the episode because they clicked on the link in my email newsletter. But let's talk about how can AI, and I'm pretty familiar with some of this, but I'm looking forward to your thoughts on it. How can AI save time and money for podcasters specifically?
Oh boy, where do we start? Okay, first I'm going to ask you a question. What AI tools are you currently using? You said you save several hours a week on the podcasting stuff. So what are you currently using right now?
Riverside.fm, ChatGPT, Claude.ai. I'm trying to think what else. Buzzsprout. I got quite a few in my tech stack.
Yeah, I mean, I love all of those tools. I think ChatGPT has probably been one of the biggest drivers for me. And I mean, I'm not lying when I say I'll use it like top down from the creation process. Like I've gotten really big. I've taken a step aside from the podcasting to help podcasters, but in the meantime, started growing a YouTube channel. And I'll jump into ChatGPT, which will help me brainstorm ideas all the way to actually scripting the video. Now, remember, we're tweaking this thing. We're not just copy pasting. We're not stealing the stuff from ChatGPT. Essentially, we're making it our own. But I basically script it all out to the point of like, here's where the edits are going to be. Here's the different cues that I want throughout the video, and when we're going to jump to the different spaces. Then we can take that video. We can create promotional clips. There's a ton of different AI tools out there that will chop up your long form podcasts or YouTube videos into like these bite-sized reels, TikTok shorts, and then you can just publish them. And then taking it a step further, we have the podcast, we have the video, we can get that transcript and feed it back into ChatGPT, and then I turn that transcript into a blog post. So this is another thing where people get hesitant about using ChatGPT to write blog posts for them. Well, if we're feeding it our own content and we're making more content out of our content, we're not really relying on ChatGPT for it. We're using our own ideas, our own thoughts, our own voice with the transcript, and we're getting ChatGPT to basically formulate and organize all of those thoughts and information into something like a blog post. So that's pretty much my complete process from beginning to end. Every time I do a video, it's video, clips, blog post, video, clips, blog post. And you can get it done really quick with this AI. That's something that would probably, because I don't really like blogging that much, would probably take me like a good week to do. And I can get all that done in like a day.
It's pretty amazing what it can do. And I agree with you 100%. You're taking your content, your ideas, and putting it into ChatGPT or Claude.ai and having it help you, not do it for you, help you, right? I mean, I was on a webinar, and I say this all the time on pretty much every AI podcast episode I do. AI is like an intern with unlimited hours, is what they said. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that is exactly true. An intern can add value when they're given very good and very specific direction, and when you review their work, right? So when you think of it that way, it's pretty amazing what it can do. And for a lot of us as solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, small business owners, you know, they say it's lonely at the top. Well, yeah, it's lonely. But here you've got a built-in person that's available to spitball ideas with and to come up with other creative titles and things like that. I upload my transcripts of each episode into ChatGPT or Claude.ai. It depends. Sometimes ChatGPT's been a little moody lately. But I upload it into ChatGPT or Claude.ai. I have it help me with the show notes. Riverside.fm is now doing a version of show notes for me. And I'm taking them and comparing them and seeing which ones I like better. But I don't have to re-listen to the episode. I don't have to do nearly as much as I used to. And there's a lot of value there, right? Because I would have to re-listen and take some notes. And this way I don't have to do any of that. Okay. So, and again, you're starting with your own content. That's yes. Like a really big piece, I think. I recently wrote a book on leveraging AI in communications. It's mostly about using ChatGPT and Claude.ai to save you time and these types of things. And yeah, it started with a presentation. I uploaded a transcript of a presentation that I did and then outlined it from there. And that's really, and then of course, heavy, heavy editing because it was a book, not a presentation. But it really helped guide me on the way and probably saved me 3-4 weeks of work that I didn't have, and the book still wouldn't be done. All right. I'm a big fan of coming up with your ethical guidelines around AI. So what are your ethical considerations when it comes to using AI in podcasting?
Yeah, it's a big topic. And I think, I mean, we've seen a lot of stuff in the news about copyright issues and artists, and it's become a big thing because it's completely uncharted water. This is the first time we've ever had technology that's this good, I'll say. So a big part is what we've already talked about is editing the content. We can't expect AI to be everything for us, even when we are training it on our own voice, even when it does understand, there's going to be an element of it that's not you. And I mean, there's going to be people that are going to abuse it. That's without a doubt. Any new technology, there's the bad apples that are going to abuse it and take advantage of it. And that's part of what's going to make you and your content stand out across everybody else's. Because yeah, anybody can paste something into ChatGPT and say, give me a video script. do the video for me, whatever, but it's not going to have your experiences and your emotions and everything that you've gone through is not going to be in that. You can bring that to the table. So the first big ethical one is making sure that you're inserting yourself back into everything that you're creating.
No, I think that that is a really, really good way to think about it. Because again, you know, that's how you're going to differentiate yourself. There's so many people that are copy pasting. Don't copy paste, right? Add that human element, differentiate yourself, and make sure that it's reflecting the authentic you. I think that that's really important. Okay. So if someone wants, I work with a lot of people that are aspiring to be podcasters, and I work with them to try and get them to get it off the ground. I always say progress, not perfection. Keep it moving forward. What does a beginner podcaster need to start using AI and get that podcast off the ground?
I mean, the first thing you need to do is have conversations. If you're going to use ChatGPT, talk to ChatGPT. It doesn't even have to be about the podcast or what you're doing. Just have a conversation with it, because that's one of the biggest things we find with people that are kind of new to AI. Maybe they don't believe in it. They think it's garbage. A lot of them just haven't played with it, or they have, and they've maybe told ChatGPT to write a podcast or come up with podcast ideas. And then they're like, well, these suck. Like, I don't want to do this. ChatGPT blows. And once you understand how to communicate with it, we always say, like, the more detail you can give it, the more background information you give it, the better it's going to be. It would be no different if I went to you, Kendra, and said, hey, give me some podcast ideas. And like, okay, but yeah. You want true
Here
crime?
You go.
What do you want? Like, entrepreneur, like, what do you want? You're just going to spit out a bunch of random ideas. But if I say, hey, Kendra, give me some ideas of podcast episodes that I could talk about email marketing, you're probably going to come up with a whole slew of really good email marketing episodes that I could, like, riff off of. So giving it the background, the details is huge.
One of the things, one of my favorite ways to prompt ChatGPT, and I don't know how often you use it, is, what do you need to know from me to do this?
Yes.
When I ask it that question with the prompt, it'll give me 10, 15, 20 questions. Now, sometimes it's like, what are the brand colors? And I'm like, you don't need to know brand colors. Like, we're coming up with podcast titles. Come on. And I'll literally say, question 7, you don't need to know this. I gotcha. But it really helps refine it, because it can do a lot more than we sometimes even think it can do. Mm-hmm. Right. And so ask it what it can do. Ask it what direction it needs. It's pretty impressive as to what it'll come up with.
That is one of the best pieces of advice for using ChatGPT. And I do the same exact thing. Almost anything that I ask it, I'll say, is there anything else you need to give me the best answer to my question? And yeah, like you said, multiple questions. Another thing, I don't know if you've played with the custom instructions within ChatGPT. Is that something you that much?
So this much, a little that, much. If you guys are only listening, I put my fingers for a little bit.
That is actually extremely powerful. And just as an example, there's in custom instructions, like a setting in there that you can essentially feed ChatGPT background information. So it asks about you. And then it asks about, like, how you want ChatGPT to respond. Well, rather than tell it about me, like, I gave it a little bit of information about me, but I gave it information about my target audience, about my brand, about my goals with Next Gen Podcaster and what we're trying to achieve. And then in the bottom box, I told it how I want to, like, carry out specific processes. So as an example, when I write blog posts with ChatGPT, I usually, if I have an idea, I'll give it the idea. If I don't, it asks, like, hey, can I help you with ideas? Then I want it to outline that idea for me, or outline the big picture of the blog post. I don't want it to start writing. I want it to give me an outline. Then once we've agreed on an outline, then I tell it to write section by section. I don't want it to write the whole thing. Give me section 1, Once we're good, okay, give me section two. Okay, we're good. And I'll just piecemeal the blog post. Well, I put that all in custom instructions. And now every time I go and ask it to write a blog post, it's like, okay, what's the blog idea? Here's the idea. Okay, let's start with an outline. And then just starts going right at the outline. Like, I don't even have to think about it or prompt it anymore. And it's always tying stuff back to podcasters or next-gen podcaster or how it can help my audience. And it's not just me re-prompting it over and over and over again, the same stuff, the brand colors, the everything that you just basically every conversation you're having with ChatGPT, you can kind of eliminate that with this custom instructions. So that's a big piece that could be really helpful and save a lot of time.
So When I said I play with custom instructions just a little bit, I deleted them all out because I use it for so many different things that isn't related to each other in different companies that I had to delete all mine out. But yeah, I mean, it really saves time. So instead of doing custom instructions, I have custom prompts that I save inside my Asana for my voice and things like that. And I like literally copy paste and I can copy paste some pretty long prompts in there to try and get that. But that's my workaround for custom instructions. But yeah, I mean, if you're working on just yourself and your company or your podcast, leveraging custom instructions is a huge, huge positive thing for you to be able to do. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about some of the misconceptions in AI or with AI for podcasting. How do you address some of those?
I think a lot of people are very concerned that like there's AI tools that can replicate, like you could create a clone of yourself, mimic your voice. And I know I hear a lot of podcasters like, well, I don't want someone being able to steal my voice, go do another podcast or create content with my voice. It's not myself. I think that's a big fear. And it's not invalid. I mean, we don't really know where this could go. That very well could happen. But it sounds like a lot of the rules and regulations might give you the opportunity to almost copyright your voice, which is kind of cool, I think. I don't know. That might be a lot of painful work. I'm not sure. But the very real fact and truth is that people are creating AI content and the AI content is being consumed, like without a doubt. Aside from that, I think the biggest thing that we can do as creators and entrepreneurs is learn how to use the stuff. If we just turn a blind eye and pretend like it doesn't exist, there's going to be other people out there. Kendra's out here crushing it with AI, getting ahead of all of the other marketers who are like, no, AI is bad. I'm not going to use AI. She's using it to her advantage. She's saving time. She can put more focus and emphasis on other parts of her business and her podcast to actually grow this stuff. So pretending like it doesn't exist, especially at this point, we're a year heavy into AI. Like, I don't think that's an option anymore. It's we need to adopt. We need to learn how to use it. And we need to really learn how it can benefit us, not take over us.
And I think for the people that are paranoid about it, I mean, I'm a little cynical. So even though I'm a power user, I am a little cynical. I do actually skim the terms and conditions of any AI system before I use it, because there are ones that if they're going to mimic your voice or your likeness, they own your voice and likeness. Like, they can use it anywhere they want to. Mm-hmm. I'm not willing to give that up. Yep. And so I don't use those systems. But I think as we move further in, some people are going to have more reasonable terms and conditions, and we're going to keep going forward and growing and find somebody, some people that are okay with some privacy, and be able to do even more with everything that we're doing. And I think that AI is just about doing more better. It's not about replacing you or replacing other people. I recently in February moderated a panel, and I had an AI for operations expert on it. And he goes, not one project that I have done implementing time-saving processes and procedures and things like that for companies has resulted in one person losing their job. None of it has, not one person's lost their job. it's actually just been helping the organization move further towards their goals. Like that says a lot.
Yeah, I love that. And I've been preaching the same thing because I think that was the big thing. Like, okay, AI is just going to take all of our jobs and then we can't work anymore because it can do it. And I've seen that as well. Like even in like the coding space, like I have absolutely no coding experience and I've built like functioning applications. Mm-hmm. And all I did was have conversations with ChatGPT and like that says a lot. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, a lot of these like development companies are encouraging the people to actually use the stuff because it makes them more efficient, helps them meet deadlines better, helps them troubleshoot quicker. Like there's a lot of applications that can help us, again, not replace us.
Right. And I think a few years ago, I read some article where they were saying that coding is becoming the like new sweatshops or whatever, because it was just like data entry. It wasn't at the time, the way they were talking about it, it was growing into being a very repetitive process, and that there's so many people that can be leveraging their skills and their thoughts and everything at an even higher level. So again, I think all we're doing is just getting rid of the stuff that is lower level, lower thought process, so that we can move on to the next piece. Me spending, 3 hours editing a podcast or re-listening to a 30-minute podcast so I can type the show notes doesn't add value to anybody, right? So how can you get rid of some of that stuff, some of those routine tasks, and add value, right? To your business, to your customers, to your audience. Just leaves so much room for so much opportunity.
100%. And I mean, if you think about it, in a lot of ways, it's no different than outsourcing. A lot of times the first things you're going to outsource are the things that you either don't want to do or don't have the time to do because your focus is more important elsewhere. We're doing the same kind of thing here, just with AI. And it's cool because it's giving solopreneurs kind of more options because not everyone can afford to outsource to real people. And yeah, you might not be able to get the work done quite as well, but it's going to get you a lot further along than trying to do it all yourself, balancing a million different plates. So I don't know. Every time we get into talking about AI, I just get so pumped because I've always been like the do-it-yourself kind of person. So the fact that I can do it myself and do it more and do it better is like the most exciting part of this all.
And I would say AI is about more and better. And I think without AI, I don't know if my podcast would still be going. I had a good plan. I was getting business. I was getting inquiries. Don't get me wrong. I loved it. It made life easy for me. From a content perspective, so that I've got content to share on social media and in my email newsletter. And I'm a huge fan. But I would have gotten overwhelmed. I would have missed a couple of weeks because I had too much client stuff going on. I mean, sometimes we get caught up in our business and don't have the time to work on our business. And AI frees up that time so that I've got time to work on my business, not just in it. And I think that's a big difference. And again, that human element, do not get copy paste. I think both Nick and I have reiterated that a few times. Do not copy paste. Still edit, still make it you and yours so that it can see your authenticity. And I think that that's really important.
Absolutely.
Okay. So Nick and I could go on and on and on and on. And probably on some more about this. But I know most of y'all who are listening or watching stop tuning in around the 30-minute mark. So I do not want to miss the opportunity to get Nick's take on the question that I ask everybody. Nick, this show is called Imperfect Marketing because marketing is anything but a perfect science. What has been your biggest marketing lesson learned along the way?
So I'm going to go completely off the topic of AI. I know we've been going hard at AI, but truthfully, the biggest lesson I learned was to start getting into video. And it was something that I was terrified of doing. you could ask my wife. I would set everything up. I would get ready to record. I'd hit record, and then I'd just freeze. Like, it was terrifying. And I eventually decided to get into podcasting. So I was like, okay, I can hide behind the mic. I can have conversations with people. And it took some of the pressure off. And then as I got more comfortable with that, then I was like, okay, let's dip my toes in video again. And that started becoming more comfortable. And now video is like a big part of everything that I do. And I can honestly say that I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing and having the success that I'm having without video. And the fact that I was afraid of it back then was kind of silly. Like, it was kind of all of these personal struggles that I was going through that prevented me from doing it. And it's actually really easy. It's, yes, it can be nerve-wracking. I still get nervous sometimes, but at the same time, if you go in with a kind of who cares attitude, I can always do another video, that will really change your mindset. So I really wish I would have got into video and podcasting just much sooner.
Yes, I am right there with you. I did my first 100 episodes of this podcast without video because I didn't want to have to do my hair. And someone was like, well, can't I just sew up authentically me? And I'm like, yes, you can. Authentically me, my hair is done. That was a big struggle. But the thing to remember is that I went to this webinar, and this woman, Jam Gamble, I think is her name, and she said, you're just not that important. Nobody else is looking at your hair. Nobody else is looking at your makeup. Nobody cares if you said, so, whatever filler word you did. You're not that important. So if you're adding value, that's all they see and that's all they get. So go with it. Mm-hmm. Video has been trending for years. And I think, well, COVID helped me with it because I look at myself on camera all day, every day in Zoom, right? But I think it really did help people get into video and get over that hump. But I mean, video ads are outperforming still image ads. Video lead magnets are outperforming checklists and all of those different things. Video is, they used to say content is king, but I mean, it's almost becoming like video is king. Content is a little bit secondary there to it because it is so important and so essential. And that is how people are consuming content, right? That's how they want to see it. And that's how they want to do it. So awesome. Kudos to you. I'm so glad to hear that you got over all of your fears and got into video. So that's important. This will be available on YouTube. So if you're listening, go ahead and jump over to YouTube and you can check us out in person ish. So thank you all so much for tuning in. Thank you, Nick, so much for joining me on the Imperfect Marketing Podcast today. Hopefully you all learned some stuff and got over a few of your fears related to AI, and maybe you're even interested in starting a podcast. If you learned something today, it would really help me out if you would rate and subscribe wherever you're listening and watching. I look forward to seeing you on another episode of Imperfect Marketing. Thanks so much and have a great rest of your day.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Imperfect Marketing. Be sure to subscribe and visit KendraCorman.com/imperfectmarketing to view the show notes of all my podcast episodes. See you next week, same time, same place.